Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You're listening to the Utah Man Podcast, bringing you the latest news and analysis for your Utah Utes. Now, your hosts, Cameron, Ryan, and Scott.
Welcome on into the Utah Man Podcast. On this episode, the Utes fall short up in Eugene, and we look ahead as the Utes close out the season.
Boo, Cameron, boo!
The season against Colorado. And we got Ryan.
What's up, Ute Nation?
And we got Scott.
Yeah, I'm here. Let's go.
Hey, did you guys know that Bo Nix was injured?
I would have never guessed.
Oh, is that what was happening in that game? I couldn't tell.
Don't you mean Heisman Trophy finalist?
The makeout session Bo that Nix. Rod Gilmore was having with him.
I want to clarify that. He had an ankle injury. I don't think they made that clear enough.
I think he's got a sore throat now from the tonsil hockey Gilmore was playing.
All right, so Oregon gets the win 20-17 over the Utes. Ouch. That's all I have to
say. More than ouch. 17 points and 7 of them were a defensive score?
Woof, gentlemen. Woof, woof. What a game, huh? Hats off to the defense. Played a good game. Played a phenomenal second half.
And Clark Phillips was a shoelace away from winning it for us.
Man alive. I felt like we were in a time machine and we were back in like 2011 watching a Utah offense that just could do nothing.
It was bad. That was probably one of the worst offensive performances. Yeah, maybe go back to 2011.
Yeah, it was not good. But I mean, by far, Cam Rising's worst performance as a Ute.
Yeah, it was bad. And you've got to call it how it is. I think he fully admits that he did not play a good game. But I don't even know how to talk about it other than it was just.
I mean,
awful.
Okay, so. You look down, he had 21
completions
on the day. How many of those were to Kincaid? I'll answer it for you. 11. Kincaid had 11 receptions for 99 yards. Cam had 170 total. So 71 yards and 10 completions to the rest of the team. I mean, what's going on?
Well, I think that's something we've talked about all year long, and they've gotten away with it until this point.
Well, we've been much more productive than that in the passing game all year long. Much more productive.
But why? But we talked about this last week, and they talked about it on even in the broadcast, that Oregon's pass defense is not good.
No, they rank far down the list.
Well, that's what Washington did the week prior. Washington got chunk yards down play or downfield
all night long.
That's what the Huskies did to get that win against Oregon. I have no idea why Utah.
We didn't even throw the ball deep.
No, that's what
we did against Stanford unsuccessfully, but did not attempt it. Everything was that short. Middle stuff.
A little dink and dunk.
Just trying to nickel and dime it down the field.
And two of them got tipped for interceptions by the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that surprises me is, look, bad games happen for a unit, for players, right? You expect to, it just happens. The thing that was so surprising to me about this game is the lead up. How Utah was saying kind of all the right things, right? This is for the season. This is the most important game of the season. I think Vele apparently said to ESPN crew, this is our championship game. If it's that important, that much emphasis, and that is the performance you come out with.
They were so flat.
Against a bad defense. I mean, it's one thing if Oregon has just been shutting everybody down all season long, and then they did it to us. Okay, they're just a good defense. You couldn't figure them out. Hats off to them. They're not a good defense. I mean, and Cam says, well, they were doing some pretty difficult things and making our life pretty miserable. And it's like, and how come they didn't do that to anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
Is that, was the game plan so vanilla, or are our tendencies so easy to pick up that they knew exactly what we were doing in every formation? Not to mention our formations like never changed.
But see, this is where I take issue with that is, yes, Oregon won the game. You got to give them credit. But look at all the mistakes that Utah made. They were not forced mistakes.
No.
A perfect example, fourth down in the fourth quarter where Rising throws the ball at Kincaid's feet for the first down. There was no pressure. There was no one around. You can't blame that on Oregon. That was completely Utah's mistakes.
You go look at that play again, Kincaid scores. He hits Kincaid. It's six. At the very minimum, it's huge chunk play, and it's probably first and goal.
Well, even if Cam keeps it, he runs it for a first down.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm saying. Like, yes, we can give Oregon credit for winning the game, but like a lot of it was just Utah self-inflicted wounds. They did not play well.
Go back to the first half. It's fourth and goal from, what, I don't remember, the 13-yard line or something like that. No, actually, it wasn't fourth and goal. We could have picked up a first down. And I think it was Kincaid who stopped at the first down.
It was Money Parks.
Money Parks stopped at the first down, wide open, and he throws a fade route out of bounds.
That Sean Bradley in his prime could not have caught.
Or on that, I think on the opening drive for Utah, they get that first down. And there's a holding call on Enos.
Yeah, it would have been first and goal.
And it was no need for a hold there. Like, he had him blocked. I don't know why he decided to try to tackle him to the ground.
He didn't hold him. He did a Hulk Hogan bulldoze maneuver and, I mean, just a complete takedown.
But there was no need for it. He already had it blocked.
Of course there was no need.
And so that's what I'm saying. Like, and I'm not trying to take this moral victory or anything like that, well, Utah lost it, whatever. Like, they did, and they played like crap. And I don't want to hear the player say, oh, they did a lot of crazy things that confused us. No, you just didn't play well.
Yeah, it was Oregon gets the win because we were inept. I mean, you miss kind of a chip shot field goal on that first drive.
37 yards should be a gimme at this level.
Right? I mean, the second one that he did get.
Barely.
I mean, I don't know that it, at its apex, was over 15 feet off the ground. And then late in the game, that fourth down that he airmails to Vele in the end zone, we didn't kick a field goal there because Kyle has no confidence in the field. I mean, that's 6 points right there through special teams. You win the game by three. You know, I mean, it's just play after play. I mean, the last two third and fourth downs of Utah's last possession, Cope drops a ball that would have been a first down.
Should have been caught.
And solo four-star Enos drops his last pass as a Utah football player.
That pass was a little bit stretched out for him, but he should have got it.
But you know what?
He should have had it.
Again, I'm not a football player. I'm not. But with the game on the line like that, your season's on the line, why are you not laying out? Like, give it some effort.
Yeah, it's fourth in the season, and that's
and it was off your fingertips. So like, mm-hmm. You could have gotten it. It's just a lot of frustration, and that's the thing is I felt like we gave it away.
Well, especially for a team that averages 40 plus a game, that went against a defense that's susceptible to giving up points, and we scored 10.
And I mean, Oregon only ran for 59 yards. That's like their strength. And they only ran for 59 yards.
The defense did their job.
Defense was amazing. And hats off to those. I mean, just because really the transformation that that defense had over the course of the season, they were pretty bad early on. And they've turned into, I mean, hats off to Scally. He has, yes, it didn't start off like we all hoped and expected. But what he's turned that defense into, it's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And
they gave up a couple of big plays, especially early. But the first drive turned into a touchdown.
But you know what? That's kind of a mark of a Utah defense historically. Under Kyle Whittingham and under Scally, is they kind of fill themselves out a little early, right? See what the game plan
hope
is.
Hope they can hold them to a field goal.
See what's going on. And then once they've a series or two, they've seen what the offense is doing, they clamp it down. They make adjustments and they just lock it down.
They completely shut down the wide receiver screen plays that they were getting some yardage on early on.
Right.
They ended up not even going back to it.
No. So it's just a waste that, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we're just talking in circles, but it's just frustration of I just, as I'm watching this game, it was just so unbelievable to see what was happening. I mean, the lead up, game day, Fox Big Noon kickoff, right? All the panel experts are talking about, you don't want to face Utah in November. Look at Utah's record in November. You don't want to face a Kyle Whittingham team. And then that's how you play?
It kind of makes you wonder, did they start believing the press, their own press? Like, we just need to show up to do this?
Or did the Knicks news about him potentially being out change the mindset of, we're going to roll? You know, he's not healthy. Defense is going to destroy him. We're going to roll. And again, it's just a bad game. I think it was not the greatest game plan. It was not executed very well. But the fact that there wasn't, like we talk about the defense sees what the offense is doing. They make adjustments. Where were those adjustments from the offense?
I did, and I don't have the quote right in front of me, but something to the effect, in the post-game press conference, Whittingham alluded to the fact that couple of the offensive coaches were not on the same page.
No shh.
But what does that mean? Like, at this point in the season, how are coaches differing on what should be done?
It's got to be probably Harding versus Ludwig, I would think. Okay, so midweek, I'm listening to, I think it was Thursday. Ludwig's on Bill Riley's show for the Coordinator's Corner. And Bill asked him, what's the strength of this defense for Oregon? And his response surprised me. He said, their secondary is their strength. And I kind of thought, really? Isn't that where they're getting destroyed is in their secondary?
Just look at the rankings.
And then he comes out with this game plan that he's just going to run it up the gut with Tavion Thomas over and over, and even when it's not working, he still sticks with it. And I'm like, he really believes this. He really believes he does not. It's like he didn't want to attack that secondary.
It wasn't like it wasn't working. Tavion was trying to find any hole, and there was no hole.
I'm going to go back and watch it again. I'm pretty sure I saw Tavion. He took the handoff, stopped, opened up a Twinkies wrapper, and then tried to find a hole.
I did see a couple of times that Tavion was like trying to kind of dance around.
He's
kind
too,
of juke.
He's too big to dance.
No one was around him. I'm like, just run, dude. Okay, we're up against a break, but when we come back, I do want to talk about running backs because that's probably where I'm most furious in this game.
Ooh, do we get furious, Cam?
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so a lot of things made me upset with this game, and probably up there is how they handled the running back position. And I know a week ago, I was on here singing the praises of Tavion Thomas. He had a phenomenal game against Stanford.
Welcome back to my side cam.
Didn't have a good game against Oregon, and what makes me mad is they just kept running with him. And 19 carries for 55 yards is not good. They get Jackson in there. He has 3 carries and gets over 20 yards. I do not understand why he didn't get more run. I don't get it.
He should have been the back. Or at least alternated a little bit more. Tavion's getting absolutely nothing carry after carry.
And why is... Let's examine this. Why is Tavion not getting anything? The dude is so slow, guys. He's got zero. He looks like he's a backup O lineman running the ball. And I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm not trying to be rude at all. But he just has no quickness.
No, he isn't quick. He's a power back, right? And that's his game. And that's what they need against Stanford to get that rushing game going. It wasn't working against Oregon. And what makes me mad is that there were no adjustments to that, and they just kept running, hoping something would work. When your offense is not flowing, when your offense is not in sync, you need a spark.
You know who is the spark? JJ. Every rush, he had burst, he would get through the hole, he would lower his head, and he would bowl forward. And the dude gets 3 carries? I mean,
that doesn't make any sense.
Who knows? Maybe he re-injured his shoulder that we don't know about. Maybe something happened and he literally could not come back. But again, it goes back to, I understand Ludwig, Whittingham, they always want to establish the run. And they have a belief, even if it's not working early, you stick with it and you're going to wear down that defense and it's going to benefit you in the fourth quarter. It never benefited you.
But with that same thought process, if you've got a running back and he's healthy enough to play, who's getting close to 10 yards a carry, you can do the same thing and be productive instead of going with the guy who's got nothing.
It just felt like everything was so forced on the offense.
It did.
And that's what I think is so uncharacteristic of what we've seen this year, is there was just no flow. There was no balance. And it was just awkward. Like it's just so weird. I watched the game the second time and I just kept thinking, like, this is not a Utah offense we've seen this season.
No, I mean,
they've been up and down. I get that. I get they're not going to be perfect every single game and every single play, but at least there were like moments of good play, and just like this whole game was just awkward. I don't know how else to describe it.
Well, and so Paul Miley, he comes back right from injury. Probably not his best game. Now, I'll be the first to admit I am not qualified to rate the play of our offensive line and what their responsibilities are and ultimately how they did.
No, same here.
But it sure seemed like his guy was in the backfield a lot, making first contact with the running back 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And so I don't think the offensive line was great. But again, I think it was pretty clear. Ludwig thought, game plan, we're going to run the ball down their throats. And I think he thought, we're not going to have trouble doing it. The fact that it didn't turn out that way That's where I'm like, well, then where was the adjustment? If it's never working up the gut, why are we not attacking the edges? Mm-hmm. I mean, we give one run to Jalen Dixon, it goes for a touchdown. Why are we not seeing more of those? Why are we not getting Mika Bernard out on the edge and utilizing his speed around the edge? There just was no creativity with the offense or adjustments to counter what Oregon was doing well.
Well, and even if you go back to early in the season when we figured out, or I should say we, the team figured out, that there wasn't going to be much of a running game this year. It was a lot of the offense was put on Cam's shoulders to find receivers, especially when Keithy went down. But they were successful in, one, throwing the ball 30-plus times a game and spreading it around to other guys. When you throw 21 passes and 11 catches went to Kincaid, I would suspect that another 4 or 5 were targets that he didn't complete to Kincaid.
Correct.
So that means you're looking at, you only threw the ball to 6 other receivers.
So Money Parks had 1 reception. Mika Bernard had 1 reception. Jalen had 2. And then your 2 biggest pass catchers were Vele with 5, Kincaid with 11. Tavion Thomas did have that one out of the backfield, which literally, once he caught it, took 25 minutes to get his momentum moving forward. It's just, again, my opinion, Tavion Thomas is not the best running back on this roster. I don't see it. Obviously, Ludwig and Kyle disagree because they love the dude. And I know they're smarter than I am. You just can't convince me he's our best option at running back.
But it's funny, though. I mean, look at last year. He carried the running game. And there were a lot of other aspects to the offense that we don't have the luxury of seeing this year. But Tavion was a completely different player last year. Whatever happened in the offseason and whatever's gone on this season.
Well, I think in his headspace, he was in a better spot last year. It's clear as day he was in better shape last year.
He was in better shape last year. You can look at and just see it.
Right. And now it sounds like he's kind of turned a corner and he's in a better spot, which I think's awesome. And it's great, good for him. And I hope for his sake that he continues to be in a good spot. But he can be a good spot watching the other running backs run the ball.
Well, and I think there's still a place for him on the offense.
Or special teams.
And I do think, you know, whether in Colorado and whatever happens the rest of the season, I think there will be a need for him and the way he can run the ball. But I would just love to see the other guys get more touches. I want to see, especially when now we're towards the end of the season and we got to look at what's ahead for next year. I want to see what Jackson can do, carrying more of the workload.
And,
I want
and
to see
Glover for that matter. Glover didn't even see the field.
You know, and I mean, it is what it is, right? They obviously believed in Tavion, and they were gonna go down with him, and they did. But it was just interesting and surprising to see.
I'll tell you one player that saw the field that surprised me. Nate Johnson.
Don't even get me started on that.
Okay.
Don't even get me.
I didn't see him on the field either.
I didn't know until after the game.
I was texting you guys after the game about it.
And I was quite surprised to learn that he was in, which just blows my mind.
For one play.
He wasn't even apparently the focal point.
Runs a wheel route, not even targeted. I don't get that. That's probably the thing I'm most furious about in this game. Oh,
how many things are you most furious about, Cameron?
Most means the most. So, like really, can only be one.
Okay. What's above most?
All?
All. I am all furious.
Oh, my gosh. This is going as well as Utah's offense.
Okay, I'll dial it back.
Tell us what you're all about, Cam.
Why waste a game on him if you're not going to play him? It doesn't make sense.
Now, I'll counter this.
Okay, go. I already have my thoughts.
No, I want to hear your thoughts.
Okay, then go.
Well, Cam is
all furious.
He's all furious. I'm like cowering over here now. All right. We've just been bashing Ludwig for the last half hour for not being creative. Why not use Johnson's speed out of the backfield on a real wheel route? I like it. I have no problem with that.
I do too.
But with that being said, he must have thought that's like a touchdown play, right? This is going to be a play they're not prepared for, they haven't seen on tape. And with his speed, he'll get around the edge, he'll be gone. And it didn't work out that way. I mean, we didn't even attempt to throw the ball to him. Heck, I didn't even know he was in the game.
I didn't even know he was in the game either. So
I don't have a problem with trying to utilize his speed in a situation like that. I guess my issue, which is probably similar to what your issue is.
Why just one play?
Why burn it for one play?
Yes. That's exactly right. You, a couple weeks ago, you and I were on here saying that he should play against Oregon. Let him get in there.
And not against Stanford.
And not exactly. Ryan, on the other hand, was all about him playing against Stanford and no plays
and
against
Colorado.
And no plays against Oregon.
Let me remind you what my thought process was. Because of his inexperience, I didn't want him to cost us the game at Oregon. Yet, as we see, that didn't matter.
No, it's the other quarterback cost us the game.
But again, it's all about trying to catch a spark to get this offense going. And they never got. If they play Johnson, I'm all for it against Oregon. But play him. And don't waste one play, one meaningless play that's going to burn a red shirt.
Well, and
this is where I get, this is where I'm pissed off.
Where he's all mad. He's all mad.
All mad.
All is in capital letters, by the way.
Reading Alex Smith's autobiography. He talked about, remember how his freshman year he went in against San Diego State and played like three plays?
And blew his red shirt.
And blew his red shirt.
Which ultimately didn't matter, but yes, I understand.
Yeah. And again, the rules are different, you know, from when he played to when now. He was going to transfer. That offseason, he was done. He did not like what happened. And
he wasn't even a big recruit.
No, he wasn't. And he was leaving. He was on the way out. And once they fired McBride and they brought in Urban Meyer had to recruit him back into Utah. And I'm not saying that this is going to force Nate Johnson out of the program. And I know it's only his third game. He still has one more game that he can play without redshirting. But to me, it's all about trust in the coaching staff now. And are you going to trust a coaching staff that wastes one of your precious games? When you have four games you only get to play in, you're limited in that. They're going to waste it on one play that the fan base didn't even know you were in.
Yeah.
I bet his family didn't even know he was in. And that's what pisses me off. And that's that whole mentality of this game that it was just, I don't know what to say. Yeah. It was just crap all around.
If the play that he was in on was designed for him and it didn't work out, oh well, that happens. But utilize him again,
right?
And again and again.
Because what did we just say? Nothing was happening in the running game. So why not do a direct snap to him and get him on the edge, utilize his speed, and maybe he sparks a big play. Maybe he gets some momentum going earlier in that game. Through the running game, through whatever.
Look what he did against Arizona. He ran their entire defense. Why could he not do that against Oregon?
I think we should coach.
Yeah. Hear.
I really think Kyle should listen to this podcast.
Just listen to us.
We've got all the answers.
Yes, it's very easy to be Monday morning quarterback. I get that. Ludwig knows way more than we'll ever know combined. Winningham,
except for Saturday night at 8:30, he didn't.
And this also I've been thinking about. With the game as tight as it was, with what was on the line, do you think the coaching staff tries to go with the players they trust the most? And is that why Cam took all the snaps at quarterback and why Tavion pretty much took all the snaps at running back for the most part?
And Kincaid took all the snaps at receiver.
And Kincaid had all the targets. No, but do you think that is a factor in it?
Well, I mean, I think any coach is going to go with the guys they trust the most. I mean, I just think that's common sense that, hey, these are the guys that have gotten us here. Why would we turn away from them right now, right? And yes, I mean, if I'm Rising or if I'm Ludwig, I would want to target Kincaid literally every opportunity I can, because the dude always gets open and he catches everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got no problem with Cam going to him so often.
The problem is you become one dimensional.
But that is, and that's why the offense could never get going, is because the defense could lock on to one or two guys, Vele and Kincaid. I mean, Money Parks only got two targets.
Dixon got his weekly run.
Yeah, his token
run around
handoff.
The end.
And it's just, I mean, that's, I just feel like we just took a huge step back offensively from where we had been, where we were headed. It was all of a sudden like nobody outside of two guys can do anything, so we're not going to throw them the ball. We're never, you know, it's like, have a diverse offense, so the defense has to cover every guy on the field and guard the entirety of the field instead of right up the gut every time.
It was like watching, it kind of felt like to me watching the Pac-12 championship game against Washington when it was 7-3 and the offense couldn't do anything.
Or 2019 Pac-12 title game against Oregon where the offense, I mean, we're scoring 40 points a game heading into the Pac-12 title game. We couldn't move the ball all of a sudden. And, oh, man, yeah, just frustrating. So speaking of frustrating, should we talk about special teams?
Yeah, let's I got to take a break. I got to drink some water before we get into special teams.
Cause
I know
he's got to cool down that.
That's probably
anger.
That's like the most infuriating with special teams.
It's my turn to be all mad.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
5-1-0, declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 3-1 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
What's that sound, guys? It's time to talk special teams!
Wow, the circus act that is our special teams.
We're a clown show out there. We don't even have a kicker that can... He didn't even get it to the 10-yard line most of the night. The returners had to get in the sprint stance and run as fast as they could to catch the ball. That's how short it was.
We've fallen so far in the last couple of years. How do you not have, at a P5 school, have reliable kickers?
There's not a single kicker on this roster that can kick it consistently, not even into the end zone, but to the end zone.
I at this point, I don't even care about the kickoffs. It's the fact that they can't make a field goal and how that goes into factor what you do on your offense, it's ridiculous.
It really is.
I mean, I don't. What else can we say? It's a broken record. Every podcast. Oh, another blunder on special teams. Another missed field goal. We left 6 points out on the field because we can't make a field goal, and Kyle has no confidence to even run them out onto the field.
And it's not just this game. You could make that argument in a few losses over the last couple of years.
Jaden Redding last year was an all-conference kicker.
Did he go to the Tavion Thomas off-season program?
I don't know. The whole special teams group needs to be whitewashed. Coaching staffs included. Shaw, thank you for your time. Hand me the playbook. Go over to the DB's room.
Go burn the playbook and start over.
Can I just have a suggestion? Give a scholarship to a kicker. Have a scholarship for a kicker and stop relying on preferred walk-ons.
It's silly. Absolutely silly.
In all honesty, they got lucky in finding Phillips.
Of course they
got
did.
Lucky in get in the BYU let Matt Gay go.
Well, they let BYU let both of those.
That's
kids
true.
Go.
And they've done nothing to recruit that caliber of kicker since.
And punting, which I think we've got a decent punter finally, but it's like we relied on whatever the Aussies wanted to send us. And I mean, it's been a train wreck just from top to bottom. Special teams, you can't count on them.
Thank you.
Play it again, good. Cam.
All right, can we stop talking about special teams and go to the defense, please?
Have we covered everything?
Many times.
Okay. We can proceed, Cam.
I'm glad I have Scott's permission.
Yep.
Defense, phenomenal job. And I said it this last week, and you guys said I was crazy when I said this was Morgan Scalley's best coaching that he's done as D coordinator. You guys said I was crazy. Both of you did. I still stand by that after this week.
I don't stand by that we called you crazy. Play the tape.
My only gripe against the defense is just not getting enough pressure on Bo Nix. Obviously, Oregon did a great job by getting the ball out quick, knowing I think he had a leg injury. I'm not quite sure. I think we need Gilmore to talk about that again. Outside of getting pressure on Nix, the defense was phenomenal, holding Oregon to 3 points in that second half. Scoring a touchdown to help the offense. The defense showed up.
You think this is a better coaching performance than 2019? You know, the year we had most of the defense drafted.
I do, and I'm not saying that this is the most talented team that,
especially at linebacker,
that Scalley has had. But when you just look how far this defense has come since game one, that's why I think it's his best coaching.
No, I would agree, because just the progress that has been made from early to now, and it's not going to finish as one of the, you know, great Utah defenses, but I mean, there's just no denying it. They've made huge strides really across the board. 3 points in the second half. But you know what? 3 points. That 3 points was the difference in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And we had multiple times on that drive, third down, to get them off the field.
Yep, that's right.
And we couldn't do it. And look, you still only gave up 3 points the entire second half. So there's no criticism towards this defense. They're the only reason we were in the game.
Well, 3 points and a half, but 20 points for the full game. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. No, it's great.
And if anyone were to say, you're going to hold Oregon to 20 points.
59 yards rushing?
Yeah, the few times I've watched Oregon play this year, they have run the ball really well against all of their opponents. And
now, granted, if Nix is healthy,
Yeah, it's a different
We're getting a different running attack where now you're not just having to defend the running back, right? You have to pay attention to him. That creates some different holes. And yeah, things would have been different. And I'm sure if Nix was healthy, they're probably putting up more than 20 points. But it doesn't negate what that defense did and how well they played and how they kept Utah in the game. And Clark Phillips is a foot away from keeping his feet to outscoring the offense. The defense outscoring the offense, putting 14 points on the board.
And securing
a
win.
Winning the game. And, I mean, that was beautiful. I honestly thought, in that moment, that was what we needed.
Mm-hmm.
This team's going to find, just like they've been doing, they're going to find a way to win. This was the play that gives almost the offense some spark, right? Gives Rising and more life. And, man.
And we gave it right back to them.
Absolutely just shocking how Rising just kept giving the ball back. Whenever the Utah defense creates a turnover, he just would give it right back. It was just so unbelievable to me.
It's a good thing Kareny Reed scored.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we would have given it right back to him.
We may have missed a field goal from the 1 yard line. No, I mean, yeah, I don't know how much more there is to hash, but hats off to the defense, man.
I was thinking multiple times through this game, though, if that offensive performance, if the game was different, if Nix wasn't hurt, and that offense shows up, we probably get blown out.
Not probably. I mean, you could honestly say
it could have been 45-17.
You could, yeah, with a healthy Nix, they're probably scoring high 30s, probably. Which is kind of what we expected, right?
Yeah, I mean, everyone expected a high-scoring game.
Well, I think my prediction was 48-38 for us.
You were a little off offensively there, right? As we all were. I can't wrap my head around what the deal was with Cam. I mean, I know we're talking about defense, but is...
I know,
and Cam's going to say the right things. He said his knee was not a problem.
But it is a problem because he had a ginormous brace on it.
Okay, but here's where I don't know that it was. When he ran, there was no limp. There was no lack of speed. He was not favoring that. So I just don't know that I would say that the knee was causing him issues. Because
his accuracy has been off since he got injured in the USC game.
I won't argue that. But Cam is also, he's never been the most accurate passer. He always has some, like, what were you thinking there? And, you know, behind the receiver. I mean, we talk about the three picks he had in this game. How many passes were behind receivers or just not catchable?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, I just don't know what was going on there. And I just don't buy that it was the knee.
It was that hit he took when he was giving himself up and they didn't call it.
Yeah, I don't know how that, when he's giving himself up and a guy comes in
and levels
with his helmet down. Yes, he hit him in the shoulder, so it wasn't a direct hit to his head, but he led with the crown of the helmet. While he's
to a quarterback who's giving himself up,
and you don't even get a
review or
a personal foul, you don't get anything. Pac-12 refs, baby.
After all of this, though, apparently there's a chance we can still go to the Pac-12
championship.
There's
a chance Utah can still make it to Vegas.
Little Dumb and Dumber right there.
There is a chance. And you know what? This may surprise you guys. I'm not sure I want to go to it. I mean, yes, I would love to play for a Pac-12 title. And I'd love to beat USC two times this season.
But
the way we're playing, Do you really think we would stand a chance against them?
I mean, it took a miraculous effort with an outstanding home field advantage to win by one. If you were doing it on a neutral field and your offense isn't clicking.
And I can tell you, USC, now they don't have a great defense, but they will not let Kincaid go off for 16 catches again.
Mm-hmm.
He will be double covered all night long.
So you're saying he's going to have to find Parks and Vele?
Yeah, I love these Utes. I would love to go back-to-back, but I'm not sure I want to go down to Vegas and get
lit up.
I don't want to get dog-walked. The new term, dog-walked. I don't want to get dog-walked in Vegas. But Cam, why don't you share with our listeners Utah's path to still make the Pac-12 title?
So first and foremost, Utah's got to beat Colorado. Then they
shouldn't be a tough ask.
They need some help, but I think all is very likely. I think it can happen. So UCLA's got to beat Cal on Friday night. And then Washington has to beat Washington State. And Oregon State has to beat Oregon. That'll create a three-way tie.
That's the toughest one right there. Even though it is at Oregon State, and Oregon State can score some points.
And they've got a great defense.
Yeah.
So, and if you, depending on where Nix is still, right? I would agree. That's probably the toughest ask because Washington's playing really well right now.
It is. Out of everything that has to happen, it's about Oregon State winning. Oregon's probably the biggest one. That would force a three-way tie, and going down the tiebreaker rules, you'd go down strength of schedule, and Utah would get the nod.
Backing into the Pac-12 championship.
Backdoor action. I don't know, guys. I'm nervous. I don't know.
At this point, I'm not expecting. I guess if it happens, great. I'd probably go support him.
I think it's going to happen. I think that's where I
sit. Do you guys remember in 2011, there was a number of things that had to go right.
And they all went right except
for Utah to play for the Pac-12 title. And everything went right except for us beating a then horrible Colorado team.
But granted, we still had all Mountain West Conference players.
Oh, we did.
And we had a Division III quarterback.
And Coleman Peterson continued our tradition of wonderful kicking. Didn't he miss two field goals? I know he missed multiple field goals that day. And then he missed one late.
Extremely unlikely that we're not going to beat Colorado.
Oh no, we'll beat Colorado. I mean, honestly, we could run even if Rising is really injured and they're like, "We're going to rest you, just go get healed up." Whether it's Nate Johnson or whether it
Barnes,
I don't think it's going to matter. Colorado's not playing for anything.
Yeah, no, they're not playing anything. And honestly, this week, I don't like it being the Thanksgiving weekend. I like being on the road. I think that kind of helps the players get in the game a little bit better. And so I don't even think Colorado's going to be in this game mentally.
Jeez, Cam, that's a take. You're so mad at the team, you don't want them to celebrate Thanksgiving. That's a jerk move.
Has nothing to do with that.
Jerk. They deserve turkey too, Cam.
But if all that happens and we take the back door into the championship game, it wouldn't feel as awesome as it did last year just to go take the South and go.
Right.
Getting rid of divisions, you do kind of lose that luster of winning, you know, the division.
Yeah, I want my division champ shirt.
I mean, not that it would matter now because USC would be representing.
Yeah, you wouldn't have had Utah and USC in there. I just think, man, do you really want to backdoor your way in and then get lit up by USC? I don't know. I think because you go beat Colorado, I know this is kind of a loser mentality, but you beat Colorado, I'll bet you we probably end the regular season in the 13th range rankings. You go win your bowl game, you potentially finish top 10. Even in a disappointing season, three losses, you could still finish in the top 10. That's pretty good, right? You go get blown out by USC in the Pac-12 title game, kiss that goodbye. You're maybe looking at top 18. And I know rankings don't matter. Give yourself a chance. But I just wonder, do we have a chance against USC again? That's where I'm at.
I'd probably go and support them. I've already got hotel rooms reserved just in case. We've had them since early in the season.
Yeah, I had plans all ready to go until Saturday night. My dreams were crushed.
But yeah, it would really be tough to be sitting in that stadium thinking like, a year ago, I was sitting right here and having the time of our lives and then watching, you know, if it happens, watching them get destroyed. Now, the defense.
I hate watching Caleb Williams. I mean, dude is amazing, super talented, absolutely incredible. I hate watching him, though, man.
Yeah.
And I watching him celebrate up and down the field. No, I can't.
Watching him and DTR this past weekend, it was rough.
At halftime against the USC game is where this defense started to come alive.
Yep, it was.
And they've gotten extremely, I would say extremely better
since that
game.
I think they would slow USC down, but that's all you can do really against USC. Yeah. They are so good and they have so many dynamic weapons that's all you can do is slow them down.
The offense would, I think the offense, to have a chance would have to be in the 40 to 45 point range.
Exactly. And if Cam's not in, if he's not healthy, if he just doesn't have it right now, I don't know.
I'm not like you guys. I think Utah can go into Vegas and I think they can lay the smack down and beat the Trojans. Oh, what you guys are doing. Wow. That's where I'm at.
Cameron right. Went from all mad to all in.
So Utah travels to Colorado this week to take on the Buffs. Colorado comes into this game 1-10. They fired their coach. Utah's a 29.5 point favorite as we're recording.
Do we even
this.
Score 29 points?
This might be the worst team Utah plays all season.
I think there's no question.
Does that include Florida?
Oh my gosh.
I don't think there's a question. Colorado is that bad. That bad. I don't even know anything about them. I don't know what injuries they're dealing with. I don't know if half the teams entered the transfer portal already.
I think Air Force would put a bigger fight up.
But they're not good. And if it is even a close game for a half, I will be sorely disappointed.
Do you guys know how many points Colorado's averaging a game?
I'm going to say 12.
I'm going under 10, 9.
14. 14 points a game. A Division I team. They average less than 300 yards on offense.
But you know
while
what?
Giving up 500.
I, again, know nothing about Colorado. And sorry, listeners, I didn't put in any work to find out anything about Colorado to pass on to you because they're not worth my time. Sorry. But I would go on record and I would bet large sums of money that they have better special teams than we do.
Here's my take for this week. The starting defense pitches a shutout and then we put Gilmore in the game at the end.
Let's give him a trifecta fumble. I think that's how you end the season. I think
Widges, why not?
Widges goes 50-50. Let's throw Gilmore out there and see what he does. He may fumble. He may catch it. Let's see. They're probably making bets on the sideline.
NIL money flowing between players. Is Gilmore going to fumble it? Is this be a safety?
I mean, I could just see Witt, you know, on the radio to like Ludwig, like $50. The kicker swings and misses.
All right. As I said, Utah's a 29.5 point favorite in this game. Scott, who do you got and what's your score?
All right. Cam's going to be ticked. Cam's going to be mad about all of these Ute fans just trashing him all week long and showing disrespect. Camerizing, not you.
Oh, Cam. I thought you were talking about me.
Camerizing. Nobody's talking about you. To be fair, nobody's talking about me either. So, no, Cam, I think Cam, the competitive fire in him will burn deep. I think he's going to come. I think he's only going to play the first half, but I think you win easy. I'm going to go 39-3.
Ryan, where are you going?
I too think this isn't even close like everybody else.
Oh, wait, 39
else.
Means we had to make a field goal. Sorry. 42-3.
My score includes a field goal, but I think it's going to be from like the 3 because we can't punch it in. Anyway.
I think we should just go for 2 every time.
Utes win big, 48-3.
I think Utah blows them out. I'm going with the shutout. I got Utah 42. Colorado, nothing.
42-3. 42-0.
48-3. My 3 comes off a Gilmore fumble.
I'm actually kind of hoping it happens now. I'm secretly like praying for it.
All right, where can people find you on Twitter?
At Drum and Feather. Drum, the letter N, Feather.
And Scott?
UteMan_forever.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Utah Man Podcast at our home, utahmanpodcast.com. You can listen to us anywhere that you get a podcast. We are there. And we hope you have a great and wonderful Thanksgiving. And go Utes.
Go Utes.
Go Utes. We'll be till I die. Kayai.
We're good. Let's cut it.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are their own and are no way affiliated with the University of Utah.